This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're going to continue our study of a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday Schools of January the 30th, 1927. The title of this Sunday school lesson is The Christian Overcoming Temptation. Now, most of these Sunday school lessons have a text, and a golden text, and a devotional reading. And we always read those at the beginning of the lesson. But this particular lesson also has additional material for teachers. And here we have four passages of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. Philippians 4, 11-13. Hebrews 2, 14-18. And Hebrews 4, 14-16. And in just a moment, we're going to read those four passages and then get on into the lesson notes that are prepared for these teachers. So let's turn to there. You can be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3-5. And while you're doing it, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's read these additional material, this additional material for teachers. Beginning 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but mighty before God, the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 11-13. Philippians 4, 11-13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. For I know how to be abased, and I know also how to abound. In everything and in all things have I learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want. I can do all things in Him that strengtheneth me. Now turn to the book of Hebrews. We're going to look in our Bible, Hebrews chapter 2. I'm turning there in my Bible as we are speaking here. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14-18. And here's the reading. Since the children are sharers in the flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner took part of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, not to angels doth he give help, but he giveth help to the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And then the last reading, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14-16. Having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Now, in these Sunday school lessons, it's common for the EA Elam to provide hints and helps for the teachers. So let's read those. It is impossible to learn all that God teaches on any given subject without studying all that the writers of the Bible say on that subject. Studying all that Matthew, Mark, and Luke say on the temptation of Jesus, we have the following lesson. Look out the quotations as they're made from any of these writers. Now, the explanatory notes. Going back to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led in the Spirit in the wilderness, during 40 days being tempted of the devil. And he did eat nothing in those days, and when they were completed, he hungered. After the baptism of Jesus, he returned from the Jordan and was driven immediately by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Mark 1 in verse 13 tells us, He was with the wild beast. In the beginning of the race, Adam was tempted and fell. In the beginning of his great work of reclaiming the earth and redeeming the race, Christ was tempted and gained a triumphant victory. Christ was doubtless tempted before. During the 30 years he spent in Nazareth, he must have suffered different temptations. But now that he enters upon his public work, Satan renews these attacks with increased energy and force. He does all he can to thwart the purpose of God and to defeat Jesus in his mission of salvation. Besides, this temptation was a preparation for Jesus in the flesh for his great work as the Messiah. He must grapple with every difficulty and conquer every foe. He is not the Savior of men and cannot establish his spiritual kingdom if he yields in a single point or does not really overcome Satan in his subtlest and mightiest attacks. But having overcome, he is ready to succor those who are tempted. The loyalty of every soul must be tried as one proves faithful. God commits to him greater trust. Luke says, During 40 days, being tempted of the devil, during all this time, Jesus endured temptation. The temptations are not specified as below, but being in the flesh with all the lust and appendices of the flesh, he was tempted in all points as we are. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He did eat nothing. Moses fasted the same number of days twice. Exodus 24 and Exodus 34. Elijah once. 1 Kings 19. If Jesus had been miraculously sustained during this time, the effects of the fast would have been destroyed. But he afterwards hungered. Any great grief, imminent danger, deep anxiety, mental excitement, or intense interest destroys for the time being the natural desire of food. Fasting and prayer lift one above animal appetites into a closer union and communion with God and are means of gaining spiritual strength and power. Intensely interested in the great work, the earth, greatest work the earth has ever witnessed, overwhelmed with its vast importance, in deep anxiety and constant prayer for strength and power to accomplish it, and undergoing the severe test, the fiery trials, the great mental and spiritual strains to which the shrewd and mighty temptations of Satan subjected him, Christ, natural, desire for food was suspended in this mighty, unrelenting conflict. He is the most successful at absolutely every point. He resists triumphantly every attack of the subtle deceiver. The danger seemingly is past. The victory is his, and nature reacts and asserts its claims with powerful force. And he is hungry in the extreme of a gnawing, imperious appetite. And so we have the first temptation. Luke chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. And the devil said unto him, If thou art the Son of God, command this stone that it become bread. And Jesus answered him, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. Here is Satan's temptation. If thou art the Son of God, command that it become bread. You might be able to read that if, as since you are, since you're the Son of God, you could do this. The tempter watched his time. He withdrew only for a moment to change his tactics, to renew his energy, to increase his force, and to return to make his subtlest, most cruel, most severe, most powerful assault in the time of Christ's greatest weakness. So he attacks us in our weakest places and moments when we're weary, weak, nervous, sick, depressed in spirit, or disheartened. There are two points to this temptation. One, to display his power in turning stones into bread. And two, to satisfy his hunger, an appeal to his fleshly appetite. Christ's temptations were real and powerful. If thou art the Son of God, the devil said, that suggests a doubt and a taunt. Why should the Son of God hunger? You are not he. If so, you could make bread of these stones. Let him save himself, if this is Christ, his chosen. Jesus would later hear, as he hung on the cross, Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. Jesus fed the multitudes and raised the dead. But he did not use his miraculous power to feed himself or to save himself from the cross. He and the apostles did not use their miraculous power for self-benefit or self-glorification. To have done this would have thwarted his earthly mission. He came in the flesh to live as a human being among men, to suffer, to be tempted, to weep, and to die. Satan's appeal to the most imperious appetite, hunger, and he did it in the subtlest way. What wrong is there in eating bread when one is hungry, and when, too, one's power is displayed in making it? To eat wholesome food is not wrong within itself. It is necessary, and clothing and shelter are necessary. But the life is more than food, and the body is more than raiment. Jesus is here voluntarily as a man, and to have used his miraculous power to sustain life would have made his humanity a mere appearance. God led the children of Israel into the wilderness to humble them, to prove them whether they would trust and obey him or not. And while they knew not what they would eat, he fed them on manna. So the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted and approved. But Jesus met the temptation. It was under God's protection, and God would feed him when he saw fit. Hence he said to the devil, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God could be trusted to sustain him. Every word of God must be obeyed at every time. And Jesus, with great power and the authority of what was written, was able to meet this first temptation.